It's a great pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in Madrid. Alejandro Esteban has served as the co-investment advisor of the True Value Fund since its inception. True Value, based in Spain, is a long-only equity fund founded in 2014. It focuses on underfollowed small and mid-cap public companies seeking good businesses with good management teams. Prior to True Value, Alejandro worked as an analyst for private investment partnerships. He holds a degree in mechanical engineering and a degree in industrial engineering. I have really appreciated Alejandro's truly differentiated ideas in the past. And so on behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Alejandro. The floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Hello, Joe. Hello, John. Thank you again for participating in another year in this great event. And now I'm going to give a brief overview of what we do in True Value. So we are a five-star Morningstar fund. Okay, now we have grown from 3 million euros up to 210 million euros. The fund was founded 5 years ago, and since then we have generated around 13% compounded annual growth rate. This is net of fees and net for the client. Okay, we are focused primarily, as you said before, in small and mid caps. And as you said also, we look for good companies, high insider ownership, low debt. We tend to favor growing business. And almost the most important feature is that this will be trading at low prices. Okay, this is probably the main reason why we have outperformed the index. So this is a little graph of the performance of the fund against the S&P or the MSCI World or the Eurostock. And we are very happy with our performance. I'm the co-investment advisor. My partner is Jose Luis. He's also a founding partner. He's economist. And previously, before working with True Value, he ran a family office. And we are also an FPA member. Today, we are going to present Táptica. We think this is a very compelling opportunity. It's very unknown. It's a small cap, around 300 million pounds. And this company operates in the advertising technology space. Okay. I want to show these facts. These are very powerful points about this company. Okay, they are in the right place. Okay, they are doing mobile marketing for companies, branding marketing, and also performance-based marketing. Okay, they have very good organic growth, around 15 to 20% per year. They have a very strong net cash position. Returns on capital employed are very high, around 60%. They have a very good insider ownership, 50% of the company. They expect to grow more than 25% over the next several years. They have very good capital allocation skills, as I'm going to show you in a minute. They also have a very experienced team on M&A. So this is one of the most powerful tables of this presentation. This is the history for the company since they went public around 2013, okay? As you can see, revenues have grown from 20 million to almost $300 million. And also the share count has increased a little bit, but much more or less than revenue growth, okay? EBITDA is also very good, over the years, and free cash flow generation is up almost 10 times since they went public. Okay, there are couple points that we should note. Okay, in 2015, EBITDA went down, sales also went down almost 40% because they transitioned the business into mobile. Okay, originally they were doing advertisement technology for the display or desktop. Okay, but the management saw that the future is mobile advertisement, and they repositioned it or they changed the business. So they took them 1 year, and after that transitioning year, in 2016, the performance was very good. As you can see here, they also have a very good capital allocation. When the share price went down during this turnaround period 3 years ago, they bought back some shares. They bought almost 10% of total shares. But when the price recovered, they issued shares to buy another companies. Okay, so they understand that when shares are cheap, they should buy back shares, and when shares became expensive, they issue shares to do M&A mainly. What is the price that we have to pay today for this kind of company? So these are the multiples that is trading today. Okay, consider the performance, and it's trading at only 8 times free cash flow 2018. But if we look 1 year forward, that multiple should be probably around 6 times. Okay, and if we look 5 years forward, this company will become very, very cheap. But what does the company exactly do? Okay, as we said before, 50% of the revenues is called performance-based marketing. Okay, so Tactica only gets paid if the client completes a purchase. So, and there are also other items. For example, some companies want the client to install an app. So Tactica does this job for the companies, of if a client completes a tutorial, of a client register in a particular database, etc., etc. Okay, so here you have a little chart of this revenue model. Okay, the other half of the company is what is called DSP. This is the future of online advertising. This is like a stock exchange for online advertising, where publishers and clients place their bids and their offers, and the highest bid and the highest volume for the offer wins the placement, and the ad shows automatically in the platform of the publisher. Okay, so it's a little bit complicated to understand, but you can Google it, or you can find a lot of information in the internet. So they took a step in the DSP performance marketing in last year when they bought Tremor Video. Okay, this was a very good acquisition. Why? Because they paid first a low price. Okay, they paid only $50 million dollars, but this purchase price included around 10 to 20 million dollars of positive working capital adjustments. So the net price is around 30 million. Okay, and this business, after some cost cutting and some cross-selling activities, is expected to generate around $11 million this year. Okay, so why did they took advantage of this opportunity? Okay, they buy this business from a fourth seller, Telaria. It's also a public traded company. This is the typical tech company generating almost no profit. So they know they will get value and multiple on sales, okay? And the higher the growth, the higher the valuation. So they decided to exit low growth business. So they decided to sell Tremor. They also are focused in the opposite side, okay? DSP is, the D is for the demand side. So Telaria was positioned in the SSP, which is the opposite, okay? It's the supply side of the advertisement technology. So there are a lot of cross-selling opportunities, cost-cutting. Telaria had a very inefficient cost structure. For example, they have offices in the most expensive places, like New York, in the best buildings, in the best areas. So Tactica decided that those costs weren't necessary, so they took out those costs, okay? And in the first half of 2018, Tremor Video was growing nicely, around 10 to 12%, okay? So they also have won recently some big clients. Now Alibaba is the biggest client, but they also have very well-known brands as clients. These clients are in the branding segment, okay? This is not performance-based. This is like traditional advertisement, but on the internet. This is a more recurring business and higher margin business, okay? And the business want to grow in this segment because it is very, very big. Now I'm going to show you the value creation of Tactica over the last 5 or 4 years in the M&A space. Since they went public, the first acquisition was Tactica, okay? Tactica was originally called Marimedia. When they bought Tactica, they paid around $15 million, okay? This company have a negative net income, okay? 3 years later, in 2017, this company was generating more than 100 million euros in sale, sorry, dollars in sale, okay? With more than $20 million in EBITDA. So if we took the purchase price after 4 years, that equals to one time EBITDA, okay? And they took this company and they were doing the desktop or display advertisement, but they turned around the business and they also repositioned them to the mobile advertisement, okay? 1 year later, they bought Area One, also for $15 million. This company was doing around $7.5 million revenues, but this year, this last year, 3 years later also, this company has almost tripled the net revenues, almost $25 million with around $5 million EBITDA. And that also equals to 3 times EBITDA for this business, okay? After synergies, after some growth over the last 3 years. So the value creation is very high in the M&A activity. Last year also, they bought Adinnovation. This was a very good platform to grow in Japan and Asia, okay? And because it's very difficult to grow from scratch in Japan due to some barriers to the language and new country, new culture. So they decided to start with this little company. They have a very conservative approach to M&A. So they decided to buy a little bit more than half of the business, 50%. Okay. And they have a call option for the rest of the business at a P ratio of 8 times, which we think is a very good point. So this company had around $13 million in 2017 in sales, okay, and it's performing very well since the acquisition. We have already talked about Tremor Video. This is a very low price. After synergies and cost cutting, the net price, net purchase price is equal to $30 million. And that's equal to almost 3 times EBITDA. Táptica is also doing business in a growing sector. Here you can see that digital video advertisement is expected to grow almost 70% over the next 4 years, okay? Tremor Video is very well positioned to capture some of this growth over the next 4 years. Here is also the mobile advertising market for the 2 to the next 3 years. It's also expected to grow. Here is the desktop. You can see that this is the legacy business. It's very small portion of the revenues. It's around 1% of total revenues for Táptica now. But the mobile side is expected to grow nicely over the next 3 years. So as value investors, we should ask ourselves, why are the reasons for this bargain, or why is it trading so cheap? Okay, because remember, this is trading at 8 times free cash flow this year. So there are a couple of reasons. Okay, first, this is an Israel company trading at the London Stock Exchange. Okay, it is also trading in the second segment of the London Stock Exchange. It is called the AAM. This is like alternative investment market. Okay, so this is a cheap place if you want to float a company, but the small investor base, sometimes they can create a bargain. Okay, the company has also a low liquidity, around 800,000 British pounds a day. It is only covered by two small regional brokers, FinCap and Berenberg. By the way, they have around 6 British pounds target. Okay. There are more reasons. Okay. People were afraid of the GDPR and all the regulation in Europe around the internet. Okay. But remember that only 13% of revenues came from Europe, and the H1 results recently published in September show no impact at all. This is very important. Okay. But the small retail investor base that Táptica have is, they are weak hands. Okay, they sell very, very fast, and they also can buy very fast when they feel that the company should perform well. The GDPR has no effect because they don't rely on third-party data. Okay, the regulation affects only third-party data. In the first half of the year, there were also the Facebook scandal and all the small caps in the advertisement space went down. People were afraid of new regulations. They don't know what could be the outcome of this scandal. So they decided to sell the shares. So the shares went down almost 40%. They have recovered a little bit, but it's well off the highs. There are more reasons. They did a capital raise. They issued some shares early in the beginning of the year, because they were planning to do a big acquisition. So they want to have the money already in place. Okay. But the management team told us that during the due diligence process, they didn't like what they saw and they decided to walk away. This is a good reason, but again, the small retail investor were expecting for them to close a new acquisition, but it didn't happen. So the market decided not to buy the shares. But at the same time, with our conversation with the management team 1 month ago in August, they told us that they have a new potential big acquisition that they expect to close in the second half of the year. Okay. The management team also sold some shares at peak levels in January, but since then they have been active buyers in the open market around 3 British pounds. Okay. There are more reasons. Okay. They don't hold quarterly conference calls. They only hold a capital markets day one time a year. They don't have investor presentations. The investor relationship website is very unfriendly. I invite you to visit their website and you can see that it has very low information. This is a snapshot of the website. It only has a link for the London Stock Exchange, the annual reports, and the investor relationship contact. They also don't have an investor relationship department. Okay, they want to keep cost low and they feel they don't need it. So the investor relationship person is also the chief financial officer. And we think there are more reasons for this bargain. Okay. UK equities are the most underweight as a class over the last months. Here you can see two snapshots from the Bank of America survey. And here you can see UK at the beginning of the year was the most underweight asset class. And now, 8 months after, it is also UK the most underweight asset class. Okay, also the British pound is very underweight over the period. People also have the Brexit anxiety. It doesn't matter for Taptica because they do most of the business outside the UK. The company revenues are in US dollars. The costs are also in US dollars mainly. And it trades on British pound. Okay. So if the pound goes down, you are going to suffer if you are a foreign investor, but the profit of the company are going to go up. So there is a natural hedge for this investment. Okay. The recently published H1 report show very good performance. Okay. Here you can see that revenues were up almost more than 100%. Organic growth was around 15%. Share count is only up 10%. Okay, this is good, especially considering that EBITDA went up 65%. Okay, so they have issued new shares for the new acquisition or the new potential acquisition that we have talked before. Cash flow generation is very good also. It is also up 65%. Net cash position is equal to 15 of the total market cap. They have confirmed that Alibaba is the new biggest client. They also won big clients in the US. The legacy business declined 66%, but only represent 3 million revenues against around $300 million for this year. They don't say it explicitly, but they have won WPP as a client. Okay. This is probably one of the biggest advertising agencies over the world, but they have a very weak presence in the digital space. So we think that WPP could be a potential buyer of Practica. Okay. And the management team and the insiders, they are open to sell the company. The CEO said, hey, if a potential company pays a good price or a fair price for our company, we are open to sell it. Okay. This is also a highly cash generative business. Okay. As value investors, we like to focus in high cash flow generation. Okay. Why this business generate a lot of free cash flow? Because CapEx levels are very low. Typically for this business, they are around 2 to 3 million a year. Okay. Here you can see the CapEx spending for the first half. Cash taxes are also very low. Israel tech companies have a special treatment in the Israel tax code, so they only pay around 15%. Okay, there is also a tax shield due to amortization originated due to M&A activities. Okay, so the second half of the year tend to be also higher from a cash flow generation point of view. Okay, so we expect that this year they should end up generating around $40 million free cash flow, or around this level. There is also high insider ownership, as we saw it before. Around 20% of total shares are in the insiders. Here you can see the base salaries and the bonus for the management team. It is okay for a tech company with this kind of performance. Okay. Share-based compensation went up a little bit in the first half of the 2018, but it was because the stock price performed very well in 2017, and the share-based compensation tends to reflect that. Okay. Here is the recent insider purchases made mainly by the CEO. As you can see here, he bought 40,000 shares at this price. Then again on February, when the shares went down, he bought another 30,000. In April, when the shares went also down, after the Facebook scandal, he bought another 40,000 shares. Okay. And we think this is very positive for the company and for the stock. The sector is also consolidating. There are a lot of M&A activity in the space, and it is trading at very high multiples. Okay. Here you can see that this company bought Rocket Fuel for almost $300 million, including debt. But this company had around $400 million in revenue, but they don't have profit. They have net loss. Okay, so compare this to Taptica. Also, KKR invested in Uplobin early in the year. They pay around 4x sales. Uplobin is also not generating any kind of profit, so these companies usually get valued by sales. AT&T also bought Apex Nexus in June. Okay. This was a deal valued at $2 billion. AppNessus had revenues around $400 million, growing 20% a year. Okay. So Taptica is growing almost the same, 15 to 20% a year. But it is trading at a valuation of $300 million, not $2 billion. Okay. There is also a public traded company in the Nasdaq, which is Traders. Okay, so this is a better company than Taptica. Okay, they are the market leader. They are growing more than 40%. Okay, but it is trading at 40 times EBITDA. And if you exclude stock-based compensation on this company, it is trading at around 80 times price free cash flow. This is a huge multiple. Okay, this is a better company, more growth, almost two times the growth of Taptica, but the multiple is insane. And remember this, as we said before, Taptica is still trading at around 5 times EBITDA, 8 times free cash flow, 1 time sales, 50% organic growth, no debt. And management said that if the market doesn't reward the stockholders, they are open to sell the company. We have asked the management team about potential buybacks, and they are open to buybacks if they don't find any new M&A target. Okay, and they have bought buyback stock in the past, as we show you, but for now they think that they add more value if they generate some kind of M&A. So here we have generated some kind of valuation and scenarios for the future. Okay, so we have modeled 3 scenarios. Okay, the bull case, where the company grows 50% organically, plus another 15% inorganic due to M&A, and EBITDA margins stay at the same level. Okay, in the base case, we consider 10% organic and another 10% inorganic. Okay, EBITDA margins a little bit lower at 17%, and there is also a bear case. Okay, where we said, okay, the organic growth slows down to 5%. We think this is a very conservative figure. The company doesn't do any kind of M&A or buybacks, and EBITDA margins staying at the same level that they are today. Okay, but at the same time, the company generates a lot of cash in the balance sheet over the next 3 to 5 years. So this is the income statement for the bull case. Okay. Remember that this is trading in British pound, but the financials are in US dollar. Okay. So here you can see the past performance of the company, how they have grown from $20 million to $200 million in the last year. Okay. And this year they expect to generate around 45 to 50 million EBITDA. Okay, here you can see that we have also modeled some kind of dilution due to stock-based compensation. Okay, there are 10 million stock options, but the strike is around 2.5 British pound. Okay, so the real dilution after proceeds should be lower. And this is the valuation table. Okay, we have used around 20 times free cash flow or 18 times free cash flow. We think that in this business, the most important metric is EV to EBITDA and free cash flow. Okay, so if the company continues to grow more than 25% per year, which we think is okay, based on past performance, we think these multiples are okay. Okay, so this is the target price in dollars. Okay, you can convert it to British pound, but the current trading price is around four and a half US dollars, which equals to 370 British pound. Okay, so in this area you can see the expected return, the internal rate of return, or the compounded annual growth rate that we expect if they perform like this and the market starts to pay some kind of fair multiples. Okay, so the compounded annual growth rate are huge. We are talking about more than 40% per year over the next 3 years. Okay, we are talking about tripling or multiplying by three times the actual stock price over the next 2 to 3 years. So here is the base case. Okay, you can see here that we have made projections with 20% growth, okay, around 17% EBITDA margins, okay, and we also have considered some kind of dilution in the future. And here is also the valuation table. As you can see, we have used very conservative kind of multiples, considering the multiples for other public or private companies. Here also, we expect to make three times our investment over the next 3 to 4 years, okay? So the internal rate of return is also very high. We are talking in this scenario of more than 30% per year, depending on which kind of metric do you look at. In these scenarios, we have considered that they can deploy almost on average 50 to 60 million a year in M&A at 6 to 7 times EBITDA after synergies. Okay. Here also you can see that net debt should stay at zero or close to zero. Okay, because they can grow very easily 20% a year without using any kind of debt. Okay. In the next bear case, we have considered only 5% growth, also some kind of dilution for the share count over the next years. Okay, and here you can see that as they grow, the balance sheet gets more and more cash. Okay, so the net cash position grows over time in this scenario. Okay, so this make the company a little bit cheaper year by year. So we have used very low multiples also in this scenario, around 13 times and 9 times EBITDA. But even in this bad scenario, which we think is the probability is very low, even in this scenario, the internal rate of return for the next 3 years is almost 20% per year. Okay. And we're pretty sure if the M&A becomes expensive, they can perform buybacks and they can generate a lot of value doing buybacks if they cannot execute on their M&A strategy. Okay. And there are some risks to this investment. Okay. As always with technology companies, there can be technology disruption. We don't see it right now, but it can change over the years. Okay. But this is low risk today. M&A execution is also a risk for this kind of company, but As we have shown you in the past, the performance of this company in the M&A space is very good. Regulation, it has some impact, but as we have shown before, this is also a low probability because Taptica doesn't rely on third-party data to perform their business. Okay. There is also some minor risk in the exchange rate between the US dollar and the British pound, but there is a natural hedge as we saw before. Okay. So in summary, we have a very good company in a growing sector, a sector with high trading multiples, a small company, very unknown, only followed by two small brokers, high insider ownership, very good capital allocation skills, but it is cheap for a couple of reasons, but we think that those reasons are outside of the business of the company. So this has been our presentation. I hope that you like this idea, and I hope that you may learn something. So now we are open to questions. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, Alejandro. Really appreciate you going in such depth on this idea. You showed management ownership and insider activity. Could you just comment a little bit more on their incentives in terms of how their compensation is determined on the cash side?
Well, they have very good incentive. It is aligned with shareholders. It is based on EBITDA per share or total growth per share. Okay, this is not total growth excluding per share. So the management team is very aligned with shareholders, and they have the right incentive. Okay, but we should note that it is true. The share-based compensation during the first half of 2018 went up a little bit, okay? But they feel that as they grow the company, they have to retain middle management. So they try to compensate for their job, okay? So at the top level, the salaries, as we said in this chart, okay, the base salary, the bonus is okay. Okay, it's not ultra low, but it is okay. But they need to increase those share-based compensation to retain talent at the company. Okay.
And Alejandro, what data points are you tracking to either validate or challenge your thesis over time?
There are a couple points. Okay, first is the organic growth that should be above market average. So the mobile space or the online advertising space is growing around 10% per year or 12%, and we like that the company grows over that rate. Okay, that's the first point. The second point is M&A activity. We like to see for them to pay low multiples for their acquisitions. We also like to track cash flow generation. It should be okay. And we also like to focus on capital allocation. Okay. We like to see them if they don't do any kind of M&A. We like to see them buying back shares. Okay, that's the four key performance indicators.
And maybe a last question from me you showed a number of risks there. Could you elaborate a little bit more on the technology-related risks? In other words, could there be a superior technology that would very quickly take market share and really threaten this business?
Okay, that's a very good question. Okay, so as we have shown you before, for example, when they were operating in the display area, they experienced low growth, so they decided to transition into mobile. Okay, now we think they are in the correct space. Okay, mobile is the future of online advertising. The first half of the company, or the first 50% of the revenues, is the branding side of the business. Okay, so this tends to be very stable. This is like a traditional advertising agency, but in the internet. Okay, so this business tend to be very stable, but you have to build a big agency in the internet to win this kind of clients. And this is what Taptica is doing right now. They like to have a global presence, okay? Because if a client like Guess or Whole Foods or Nike or Electronic Arts wants to work with you, they want to have a global solution for all the areas that they operate. And this is where the management team, Hagaitala, and all the Taptica company thinks that there is the big dollars. Okay. That's why they are doing these acquisitions in Asia, in the United States. And for the next acquisition, they want to focus in Europe. Okay. But that's where they have the weakest presence. So they want to build a strong presence in Europe for this kind of global advertising agency. Okay. And the second part of the company is the performance-based marketing. So this is reliable on algorithms and software. Okay. So this space could change in the future, but as we have checked with the company, also with independent analysts and other kind of companies, we think that the Taptica position is very good. It's not as strong as Trade Desk in the performance or in the DSP side, but is also okay. But you have to watch carefully for the changes in the industry. Now, we don't see any kind of disruption or any kind of changes. But maybe in 5 years, a new technology may appear, and Taptica has been very good at adapting to new changes or new trends. Okay. So the CEO, Hagai, says that his real job is to look forward for the next big thing. Okay. He doesn't want to run the company daily to daily, in daily basis. Okay. He's focused on M&A, the next big thing, trying to anticipate to changes in the sector, and training and creating a good corporate culture. Okay, so I invite you to assist to or to attend to their Capital Markets Day, which is held one time a year, and you can see that they have a very strong corporate culture. Okay.
Well, Alejandro, thank you very much again for being here. It was truly a pleasure, and I think you helped us understand the business as well as the investment case very well. I would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up directly with Alejandro with further questions. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Thank you, John. Thank you all.